This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number two. That means the good, the bad, and the dumb that is coming up next. We'll also talk more, of course, of the NFL draft, because that's happening tonight out in Las Vegas. We'll get some thoughts on the first round and get some other thoughts of some players to watch out for. We're going to talk to Josh Edwards about that coming up in hour number three. I'll also get into this into some Major League Baseball, because there's a story that was coming out. I'm going to get to this in a little bit about the baseballs and how they're not being pitchers are not being able to grip them quite right. And they feel like a cue ball. And you're starting to see a lot of balls thrown close to batters. And in this Mets-Cardinals series got kind of out of control yesterday with a bench-clearing brawl. But baseball has been, you know, pitchers are saying, look, I've been pitching my whole life. I know what a baseball feels like in my hands, and this doesn't feel like the same thing. Is this a problem for Major League Baseball? We'll get into that. But I think today is the day we're all going to be celebrating the NFL draft and the product that it is, the event that it is tonight. Whether it's Aiden Hutchinson going number one or Trayvon Walker going number one, it doesn't really matter. In the end, it's your teams and your picks. If your team does indeed have some of your teams gave them away. Some of your teams passed on them and moved on and gave them away for talented players. But tonight is going to be the night for the NFL draft. I'm telling you, this is one event that perplexes me in a lot of ways, because I just can't. There are players where I go, oh, that's a great need. That's going to be fantastic. And yet it is all, it's the entire night is all about opinions. There's not one fact other than a name being played. You watch a game, the game comes with facts. This player threw for this many yards. This player ran for this many yards. This is how many touchdowns and points were scored. This is how the game results. Tonight is about analysis. For every team that gets an A as a grade, somebody might grade them a B. For every B, there's a C. For every C, there's an A. It really is about a number of people who have watched plenty of film, who've talked to a lot of coaches, to a lot of scouts, and then saying, after this weekend is over, hey, your Houston Texans got a B- in this year's draft. And oh, by the way, the Detroit Lions, they got an A. We will not know it for a number of years if that is actually accurate. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. And we'll get more into the NFL draft tonight as we continue along at SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. It is back after a little day off yesterday. So now we've got 2 days to process all the good, all the bad, and all of the dumb. What did we come up with for the good, Ron Culver?
The good of the day is that we finally overcame our technical difficulties.
Yes, that was great. Yeah, what a wild day that was. Well done.
It was not. I mean, it's, you know, little behind the curtain stuff for us, right? Is, you know, we are at the mercy of technology.
We certainly are.
And when it doesn't go right, it just does not go right at all. And the fact that you and I are sitting here talking to each other today, I mean, think about it. It's a modern miracle.
It really is. Good job to the engineering team, to you, who tried everything. I mean, I think you chewed some gum and drew out a coat hanger to try to put something together.
Yeah, I grabbed a paper clip and you know, trusty old duct tape.
Yeah, tried to MacGyver the situation.
Yep,
pretty good.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it was a wild time. Listen, it's really wild because, you know, I of course been in this business a really long time. I've done everything. You know, I've seen breakdowns and whatnot.
You've seen it all because you've. Or you know it all because you've seen it all.
I worked at a radio station in Manchester, New Hampshire in the 90s where we had a snowstorm, massive snowstorm. And, you know, when you were in a massive snowstorm, radio is the one thing that people need because you can listen to it with a battery, right? So everybody's losing power. And we had a generator and we're on and we're telling people, okay, these roads are shut down. School's obviously shut down. This is what's happening. Emergency crews are on the scene, right? We're doing all that. And then we started to lose power and all of a sudden, the engineer realized, oh, we don't have gas in the generator. And my Oh, management was so livid. They're like, the most important time, the one of the main reasons we exist is not to play music, is to be a part of the emergency system for a community, and nobody put gas in the generator. So we had to get the vehicle and had to try to go find a gas station that was open in the middle of an ice storm. It was horrific. But you know what's fun? I'll tell you this. I've been involved in a number of these radio stations. Where we've been in, had to hunker down because of an emergency, whether it was in Colorado, we had wildfires, whether it's or ice storms or rain. And I tell you, some of my fondest memories are being at a place where everything, like we stock up on food, groceries, drinks. Like the conference room is just loaded with snacks. There's sleeping bags on the floor. People haven't showered in 3 days. We all stink, but we're all working our tail off to guide the community. So I've been in the business a while, but I've seen almost every technological mishap. And I will tell you guys, you were fantastic. I mean, you really, like, every break you were like, okay, we're trying this, we're going to reboot this, and we'll get back, we'll try to connect. And I'm just trying to do the show, and you are just doing 100 things. So big ups to you.
Well, it made it convenient. It did make it convenient because I was able to do stuff during the show because it didn't matter. You know, you couldn't hear me anyways.
Yeah, right. So so thanks to everybody involved for getting us back up and running today. So you're right. That is a good.
That just felt good coming in this morning going, you know what? Hi, Tony.
Yeah, right. I know.
And you going, hello. And I'm like, that's all we need.
That's great stuff. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that two baseball teams from colleges, NAIA level schools.
Yeah.
Kansas Wesleyan and Bethany. They're a rival.
Oh, okay.
Now they are, you know, separated. I think they're about 20 miles apart, which is a big deal when you think of Kansas.
Yeah, right.
You know, cuz
there are 200.
There aren't many towns that are 20 miles apart, but these two are rivals, but they've taken that rivalry to maybe dangerous levels.
Uh-oh.
Cuz Kansas Wesleyan is accusing Bethany of poisoning their water.
Okay, what?
So here's the deal, right? I think this goes all the way into like D1, that the home team provides the water.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the report, no one knows if anyone drank the water, but for some reason they decided to open the bucket. You know, it was like one of those big Gatorade 5-gallon things. And you open, they open the top and you can visibly see. Like, the only way to describe it is it looks like paint thinner floating in the water.
Okay, that's really dangerous. What?
So there's a full-blown investigation. I don't know the outcome of it yet. They're still figuring it all out. But it looked like, I don't know, maybe it was a prank. Let's like, let's put paint thinner in the water. Ha, 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 ha. You know, to our rival. It could have serious ramifications. It didn't really matter. Kansas Wesleyan, which is a better baseball team than Bethany, just absolutely spanked them in their two-game series or three-game series.
I think I'd find a way to bring my own water. Like, I would.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? Like, I would say, like, okay, provide us the cooler. We'll find a way to fill it up. Like, we'll go to a local tap and fill it up, but we're not gonna have you fill it for us. I think it'd be a little nervous.
I'm trying to think.
I don't know if that's too paranoid or
I know smaller schools, you know, will do that. You know, we'll provide, like, the home team provides the water. I mean, does that happen in, say, you know, when Alabama and Auburn meet up against each other? Does it, you know, they're playing at Auburn? Does Auburn provide the water for Alabama?
Yeah, good point. You would think not. You would think Alabama would be like,
but
no,
at the same time,
the water.
Where's Alabama getting its stuff?
Right. Well, you would probably go, I'll go get it from the local tap. Like, the tap isn't going to be poisonous, but you putting stuff in our water, that's more.
Yeah,
likely
you providing the bucket to me fulfilled. You know, so, like someone on staff at the stadium on a golf cart drops it off.
Yeah.
Which, you look at. I mean, there's something floating in this water.
It's like whenever I'm at a restaurant and I never send anything back. I remember the movie Waiting, and I'm just like, I'll never send anything back ever. I'll just eat it and just be good with it. Or if I have to send it back, I'll be so nice and so like, I can't believe I'm doing this. I have to send this back. But you know what? Your staff is awesome. Everyone's great, and I'm going to tip everybody in this place.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you
that
this much.
That movie really affected me in a wild way.
You know, as I bartended through college, and I had a trick. If someone had sent a drink back to me because they claimed it wasn't strong enough,
mm-hmm.
there was a simple thing that I did without making a new drink. I just took the alcohol of choice that was part of that drink and poured it right down the straw.
Oh, that's kind of
cool.
So
the first sip that they would get would be nothing but alcohol.
Ooh, that is a great, great thing. That is actually kind of cool.
Yeah. So instead of making a whole nother drink, just take the drink, pour it right down the straw, and then say, here you go. Bring it back to her.
Yeah.
Bring it back to them. Whoever it was. And
good point.
First sip they had out of that straw was nothing but straight alcohol. You can see their face like, whoa, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
good.
I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. You bartender, keep chugging that booze.
Yeah, and you've already numbed their tongue, so they can't taste it the whole way through.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, so, yeah, no, I would be, I don't know, if I was a coach of a football team or a baseball team or whatever, I'd be like, nah, I'm filling my own water jugs.
I bet they are now.
Yeah, go get
the Kansas Wesleyan, wherever they go. It's like, I don't know. Well, send Scotty over there to go make sure that the water is filled properly.
Show me the hose. I'll go fill
exactly.
it up. Exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Laramie Tunsil. From
Bong Mask fame. From
I'm glad you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Because he's turning that famous draft moment into an NFT.
Is he?
Where the benefits of it will go to those who are in prison for smoking weed. The reason why this is dumb, I still don't understand what an NFT is.
I don't either. I feel so dumb with that.
So,
I mean,
is it just... Is it that image that we see that, you know, that him wearing the gas mask? He's monetizing that.
So yeah, I tried watching a YouTube video on NFTs and I was more confused than afterwards. I went, I still don't really understand.
Yeah.
What exactly they're buying.
Exactly.
Darren Rovell does this all the time, and I kind of made fun of this one time before. Well, he'll put like. He'll be like, Bored Ape sold for $1.3 million. This is the one with the pink party hat. And I'm like, what? What is he? What? Why would somebody pay money for that? And then people will copy that image and then they'll say, well, now I own it. But then people point out, you don't really own it. Then I'm like, well, then exactly what is it?
Yeah.
Like, so if he doesn't really own it, what? Are we talking about here? Like, it's a real world, it's a weird world. I know it's big. Like Rob Gronkowski is promoting his too and whatnot. But yeah, Tunsil just took a famous thing and he's involved to turn it into NFT and then made money off of it.
Yeah. So I mean, like I there are photos that are copyrighted,
yeah.
And I understand copyright. You know, if I post a photo, you know, and someone goes, "Hey,
absolutely.
Man, that's my photo." You know, you need either take it down or give me some cash. You know, I'll take it down.
Yeah.
I don't understand NFT. I mean, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah. See, that's what I don't understand, right? Like if you start a website, if you're like, I like football and I'm going to write about football, then you got to get some like stock images that
right.
are free, or you're going to pay the people who took the pictures at the AFC championship game or whatever that you want to use.
Well, you do that. You go.
That makes sense.
You can go to different sites. It's like Getty, Shutterstock,
yeah.
where you can go and you just pay, you know, you can pay per image or you
yep.
can pay a monthly fee where you get to have a limited use.
But that is, that I don't think is NFT.
Which, that's where you lose me.
That's where I'm lost too.
Because other than if I'm writing a story about it, I don't know why I would ever need Laramie yeah. Tunsil's gas mask.
Exactly. So what, how does he make money off of it? And why would somebody buy it for six figures or whatever it is?
Right.
Like again, I go back to Darren Rovell's tweets of Bored Ape in the pink party hat.
Yeah.
All right. Does that mean somebody can make a Bored Ape with a green party hat and sell that for six figures?
Or
what are we doing here?
What if the Bored Ape's not wearing a hat, but holding a wilted banana?
Yeah. How about Excited Ape wearing a pink party? Does that
That's make different,
money?
Tony.
Is that totally different? Like, what are we doing?
You know,
yeah.
What about Excited Ape doing a handstand while wearing pink party hat?
I completely, like, I feel like an old man not understanding this stuff. But
I just
at the
don't
same
get
time,
it.
Like, I got Matt Damon on my TV all the time telling me to buy crypto because fortune favors the bold, and I don't want to be weak. So I'm like, all right, Matt Damon, here's my checking account. Why don't you take all the money that's in it and buy it, whatever it is you're selling?
Yeah, buy me, give me some
of
that
because
crypto
I don't
over
want
there.
You, I don't want you, Mr. Jason Bourne, to think that me, Tony D, is just a weak little man because I'm not diving into the crypto world.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with him because he could be, he could call you up and go, and you could say, hey, we should have this meeting face to face. And he'll go, oh, if we did, I'd be in your office or something.
That's
like
right,
that.
That's right, yeah.
A famous line. I but butchered here, it, by the here's, way.
In his ad, he's like, astronauts, explorers, mountain climbers. Don't you want to be part of these people? They're some of the bravest people in human history. Do you want to be them? Buy crypto. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I better
buy
crypto.
And I don't get that one either.
I don't either.
I don't get
it. What exactly am I buying?
Are we done mining for crypto?
Because
I don't hear that being a thing anymore. Have we already found all the crypto and now that's just what it is?
And if this is a new currency replacing dollars and it's only valuable in dollars, then what is it replacing? Like, people are like, I'm a crypto billionaire. You're a billionaire in the currency that you're trying to replace with the currency you bought.
Can you buy a house with crypto?
Right. Used to be able to buy a Tesla. I don't know if you can anymore.
Well, not anymore. He just sunk his crypto money into Twitter.
That's right. Elon Musk buying Twitter. You want to talk about a story that's had 4 or 5 days on the news calendar? It's this. Every single day, it's Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Yep. Some people are celebrating. Some people are quitting Twitter.
I know. It's crazy.
Meanwhile, I think of you and I just going like, okay, I don't see a difference.
Yeah, not me. Because ever I put out a tweet, 3 people like it, no people like it. Yeah, great. Doesn't change my world. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb for a throwback Thursday. Again, on this date, the Orioles lost 21 straight to start the 1988 season. I will continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
1988, Orioles go 0-21 to start the season on this day. 21 straight losses. Unbelievable. 1988. This is Midnight Oil.
Yes.
This song is about Australia's treatment of the Aborigines.
All right.
Yeah, it's a,
I believe you.
Social song. If I'm not mistaken. Nevertheless, 1988 music here on a Throwback Thursday. We'll get to the draft coming up. So I posted something on Facebook yesterday because I couldn't help myself. Because sometimes a thought comes in my head and I go, I got to flush this thought out. So you want to hear me out on this, okay?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hear me out. And I can't emphasize this enough because this might get a little weird. So the other day, a couple days ago, I think it was over the weekend, I saw Dead Poets Society was on one of the many channels that I have. That Robin Williams movie with a young Ethan Hawke and I can't remember the actor's name.
No, I know who you're talking about though.
Yeah, but you know what you're talking about. He's been in a number of things. So anyway, the movie, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's Robin Williams plays a teacher at a boarding school for boys, upper class kind of private school, and the kids they discover that he was a member of this thing called Dead Poets Society, and they go in the woods, they recite poetry, they formed a club. The school is really strict. It's set in the late 50s, and there's a kid, and he discovers a love for acting, but his dad wants him to be a doctor. He acts anyway in the play at the encouragement of Robin Williams' teacher character. The father loses his mind, is going to threaten to pull him out of school because he wants him to, again, go to Harvard, become a doctor. And the kid commits suicide and kind of takes down the school a little bit. It's a pretty good movie. It's got one of the more goosebumpy endings that you'll see in a movie when the kids all show their support for Robin Williams, who's getting his stuff to leave because he's been kicked out.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Ethan Hawke stands on the table and goes, oh, Captain, my Captain. It's a really great movie moment. It's great. So it's a good movie. I didn't watch it. It was just on a kind of couple of scenes, here and there, kind of went back to it, whatnot. It's not one of my favorite movies, but I will say this, Robin Williams, the late, great Robin Williams. That was probably the movie in the 80s. Cause I didn't get to see like, Moscow on the Hudson and The World According to Garp. Like, I didn't see his dramatic stuff.
I didn't see those
when
either.
I was a kid. I wasn't allowed to see those movies. They were rated R. I didn't allow to see them. So to me, Robin Williams was always Mork from Mork and Mindy, like a wild, crazy comic and whatnot. And this was the first time I like saw him in a dramatic role. And I was in high school when I saw this movie. And, you know, I didn't know anything about his background, and he was really good in it. You find out later, like, he was a Juilliard-trained actor.
Yep.
So he was very, very talented. He really knew how to act. He chose, like, the crazy comedic way, but he could really act. He really could. So this was a good movie. But anyway, here's my thought. So, and this might be as I've gotten older. So when I was a kid, the father figure, Neil is the character's name, the kid who wants to act. The father is the villain. The father's mean. He's hard. He wants his kid to go to Harvard, study, not have any fun, be a doctor, get rid of this acting nonsense. Don't be an actor. Don't follow your dreams. You will. He says it in the movie. He goes, you will go to Harvard and you will be a doctor. And the kid's trying to fight that because it's not in his heart. But then, and so the kid, you know, commits suicide, and he breaks down. He's like, oh, he's holding his, oh, my son, he's screaming. But and I remember as a kid being like, well, you're the jerk. You didn't let him follow his dream, right? You're the reason for this, right? But as I got older and I kind of rewatched it, I thought to myself a couple of things. And this is what I posted on Facebook yesterday. The movie is set in 1959. So the main character of this Neil character, this kid, was probably born 1942. Okay? 17 years old, 1942, give or take. That means the dad grew up in the 1930s during the Great Depression. Now, in the movie, the Neil character even says to Robin Williams, we don't come from money like Charlie and the other kids. Like he makes it a point. My family doesn't have the kind of money that these kids have. They run banks and stuff. I'm not here on like they are here. So that means the dad probably grew up in the Depression, probably poor. And probably really knows about, you know, what money and security is all about. Like, hey, you think you're hungry? I know hungry. I know what it's like to take a 6-ounce piece of meat and split it 4 ways. I know what it's like to skip meals. I know what it's like to sleep cold. I know what it's like when my father couldn't find work, when my father was begging with 50 other people for 3 slots at the dock. Like that kind of thing. And I wonder if that changes the way that character looks now as I've gotten older. So again, I said, bear with me. That's what I posted yesterday.
I saw your Facebook post, and that was the first time that I ever thought of it that way.
That and it I don't was, know why.
Because I've seen that movie hundreds of times.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I do enjoy it. I like it.
I like it too. I think it's a great movie. But I started seeing the dad in a different way.
Yeah.
Like
right when you said that, because you know, and somebody responded to your, I don't know if it was posted on Twitter or Facebook or if you had them synced up together, because somebody responded to it saying that we often, you know, take movies that are set in a different era but apply today's thinking to it. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. And again, think about the dad in 1959 going, look, I'm sorry, I'm hard. Well, first of all, a lot of parents were hard back then. They kind of grew up hard, so they were hard. But he's also going, you don't understand what this world can do to you if you're not prepared for it. It's like chasing your dream and being an actor. Go ahead. But you know what? If you're out on the street because you can't find work and you have no money, and this, they will not care. They will stomp. I'm preparing you for a world where you are going to have security. You're going to be able to provide for your family, for yourself. You're not going to be able to do that following your dreams, acting in plays in this world. Because if you can't do it, you're dead out there. You're dead out. And like, he saw it. He saw it kind of, you know, he saw it growing up. He saw that entire society throw people and go, we don't, nothing we can do with you. Goodbye. And they were living in tents in Central Park. So I started thinking of him a little bit differently. Anyway, that's just the thought I had, because that's what I do. I flush these kind of thoughts out because I have no other place to do it. Thank goodness for social media for me to, because my wife would have listened to that and then go, you lost me at Robin Williams as a Juilliard trained actor. That's about as far as I would have been able to get. More draft as we continue on Sports Map Radio. So what exactly will happen within the top 3? Some thoughts on that next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1988, that's our Throwback Thursday. As we continue along on Sports Map Radio, draft tonight, this is Rick Ashley. How can you not have the 88 without Rick Ashley?
Rick, real quick, how did this song become like the prank song?
That's a great question. I have no idea. Just one day it was.
It just like overnight it was like you got Rickrolled.
Yeah.
Like you could be watching something and then it's like, then it just him like, never going to give you up.
Remember we talked about this, like how we were younger. Somehow, some way we all knew the same thing. And there was no internet or social media.
Yeah.
But we all remember what I told you? I said, for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I was told Mikey from Life Cereal died because he ate Pop Rocks and soda.
Yep.
Right? Somehow me in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, knew that. And somehow, some way, you knew that
in
growing
California.
Up out in California.
Yeah.
Without any sort of social media or internet. Somehow you knew that, and I knew that, and it was not true. So somewhere along the line, somebody took this song and Rickrolled it, and it just became one of those things that everybody just went, yep, that's what happens with the song now.
You got me. We've seen it in stadiums. I remember, I think it was an April Fool's prank. The Padres were hosting the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it was the seventh inning. They broke out into Sweet Caroline, where Red Sox fans were going crazy, like, oh my God, you're doing it for us?
Yeah, thank you. Oh!
And then it was like, you know, you got 10 seconds of Sweet Caroline, and then it was Rick Astley.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, that song, somebody did it, because other like TV shows have commented on it, but they've picked up the trend. They didn't start the trend. Somebody created this.
No, and I think Ted Lasso ended it.
Yeah, it might have been.
With the funeral episode?
That's right, with the funeral episode. That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Just fantastic, by the way.
All right, so NFL draft coming up tonight, round number one. We'll get our thoughts coming up. But before we do, hey, Free All Deep Penetrating Oil delivers 3 times more lubricant. That means for you, it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Just spray it into the part. Wait a while, and next thing you know, it's going to be freed up. It's body shop safe. It means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone free. Again, I think you're going to be happy with Free All Deep Penetrating Oil, and you can find it on the shelves of O'Reilly, AutoZone, Napa, select Walmart stores, seized engines, stuck ball joints, rusted nuts and bolts, axle nut removal, just some of the uses for Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Give it a try. All right, so again, tonight, the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock. If you had to give me a percentage of them making that selection or trading that selection, what would you do? Like 90% they take it, 95% they take it, maybe even low as 80% they take it?
I think they take it because I don't think there isn't anyone worth moving up for.
I'm going to go 99% for that exact reason.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody in this draft that is so important for teams to go, take it all. We want the number one overall pick. Take everything we have. Take our number one. Take our number one next year. Take our two this year. Take our two threes this year. Here's the package. Can I go grab whoever?
In fact, you know, I'm going to give you 35% of our team in shares. You're finally a stockholder of this team, minority owner.
Yeah.
There isn't like that one person. I mean, you know, you keep seeing it on every sports pundit talking about. How confident do you feel that Trayvon, Walker, is going to be the number one pick?
And again, Connor Ogaro came on 2 days ago. He was like, I don't understand this. And he knows the SEC, so he knows. This guy's stock just went through the roof in the shortest amount of time. Where it was Aiden Hutchinson, and people were like, okay, I can see that. And then Trayvon Walker had a great national championship game, but still was on the downside. And then whatever, as the offseason was progressing, did enough that
combine, caught, pro day.
Exactly. And then propelled him now for the number one pick in the draft by the Jags.
Yeah,
who's
going to
pair
him
up with Josh Allen on the other side and have a great defensive line.
Because the only guarantee that you can make right now, which is I don't think we've ever had before, is that Aiden Hutchinson is going to go number two.
Yeah.
You can lock that one in.
Yeah, the Lions absolutely go with a Michigan guy, without question.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a Dan Campbell guy. And, you know, you've heard all these stories. And that for me is like, okay, you know what, Lions, if you take longer than 30 seconds for your pick, no thank you.
Yeah, right. Again, Hutchinson was projected to be the number one pick for a while.
Yeah.
So if you're the Lions, you're like, well, let all the smoke come up from Trayvon Walker. We're fine with that. Let that be the story.
We'll maybe they're Aiden pumping
Hutchinson
it.
Two. Yeah, maybe they are, right? Exactly. So, like I said in hour number one, there are two teams early that I'm watching. The Jets, especially with Deebo Samuel floating around out there as a possible, maybe we could get a trade. Maybe San Francisco would be interested in trading him. That's a big if, I know. John Lynch is either throwing shade or he's telling the truth. Right, so those are two things. I'm not going to ever say lying, but I think he's trying to call off the bloodhounds, if you will, or he's absolutely telling the truth when he talks about Deebo Samuel. And he did say we have no interest in trading him. We have every intention of working out a deal with him. He is very important to our offense. We want to keep him in San Francisco, but he also could be go away, go, stop. Stop sniffing around here because we're working on something and we don't want you to get wind of it.
Honestly, I don't think Deebo Samuel is untradeable.
I don't think he's untradeable. Exactly. That's a great point.
And really, there's only a handful of those guys out there.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, and they all revolve around younger quarterbacks.
Sure.
Like Chiefs aren't going to trade Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Bills aren't going to trade Josh Allen. But I think if the right package came along, the Bills would trade Stephon Diggs.
I agree.
You know, if the right package came along, Chiefs would part ways with Travis Kelce. We already saw them get, you know, say, Tyreek Hill, okay, see ya.
But maybe John Lynch is telling the truth and nothing comes about this. But by the time we get to pick four, I'll be curious. Because I think if you're the Niners and you're going to trade Deebo Samuel and everybody's going, the Jets would be a great spot, then it has to come with the fourth pick.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to trade Deebo Samuel. He's got to come with the fourth pick and a package. But anything that includes their, I think they picked 10th. The 10th pick in a package, I don't think you're interested in that.
Yeah,
I want the fourth pick.
And if the Jets go, hey, take our fourth pick, I mean, that's still a good deal for the Jets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you already have someone proven.
I think for Deebo, you got to package the two picks or at least one of those picks and a lot of others.
Yeah.
Right? So that is – and then the other one is Baker Mayfield. Like, what exactly are the Cleveland Browns going to do with Baker Mayfield? There's no market for him. Nobody is interested in trading for him.
And that doesn't make any sense.
Like, I mean, like, say what you want about, look, put your Baker Mayfield is not a superstar. Put that aside for a second. He's a legitimate starting quarterback in this league, and no team is interested unless the Browns are like, yeah, we already have our guy, but we need a king's ransom for the guy that's going to sit on the bench. Come on. You can pry him loose from the Browns for a song.
And I hope it's not a situation, too, where like, well, let's hold on to Baker just in case Deshaun Watson can't play.
Yeah. Like, if you're Baker's people, you're like, made that bet. You're lying it. You got to get us out of here. We're not hanging around so you can make the Deshaun Watson thing work.
Well, and I look at the other two quarterback situations around the league. I mean, you know, you're hearing a lot of Jordan Love rumors now.
Yeah.
You know, could the Packers part way with Jordan Love or, you know, go back to the Niners? What are they going to do?
That's a great point about Jordan Love. If you're the Packers and you're like, I think we can get a couple more years out of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Why are we having Jordan Love kick around here? We can just find
Tom
the next
Brady
guy
is back.
Later.
I mean, is Aaron Rodgers set to retire?
Option.
Aaron Rodgers just was named MVP again.
By the way, they just restructured Tom Brady's contract. Which makes me think Brady's retirement was nonsense.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that Miami story really was real.
I think it was.
That was a real ploy to get with the Dolphins, to get a minority ownership role in that team, to quarterback that team.
Maybe they'll try again next year. So, you know, when Brian Flores can't ruin it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, right. Right.
Because I think that, too. I think Brian Flores ruined it because Brady retired,
yes.
And then we all forgot the retirement because Flores's deal came out.
When his lawsuit came down and everyone was like, uh-oh. And that's Ben Boleyn was saying, that immediately put a wrench in the plans because everyone's like, uh-oh, this is not going to work. This elaborate coup to get to Miami. But now he comes back and restructures his deal with the Buccaneers, and I'm like, you really weren't committed to retirement anyway. Stop it. Stop telling us you retired to make some point. Whatever point people will believe is up to them, but it was to make a point. It wasn't to go watch your kids play soccer. It was nothing to do with that. So, But yeah, those are the things I'm watching for tonight. Again, picks come and go. I mean, I don't care where Charles Cross, the offensive tackle from Mississippi State, goes. Does he go to the Panthers or the Eagles or the Giants? Or,
yeah.
I couldn't care less. What I am interested in is these storylines. The Jets have two picks. What do they do with them? Do they select? Do they take picks? Yeah, maybe they do. But if you got two first-round picks and there is a Deebo Samuel possibly floating out there, do you do it? What do the Giants do with their two? I think if you're the Giants, you pick. You Brian Daboll is likely to take two players. I don't think he's going to try to find a way to lose one pick and get something else or find a player somewhere and trade for. I think Brian Daboll is like, look, we're rebuilding. We know we're rebuilding. This is how you rebuild. The Giants have the fifth pick and the seventh pick in the draft. I think you stay with those, take them and go. But the other big question is, we talked a lot about the lack of quarterbacks. How about wide receivers? How many are going to go in the 32 picks in the draft? Five? I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers here that are rejected.
They seem to have grown in stock as well.
Yeah.
I remember wide receivers just almost being like, you got a good quarterback, you can throw it to anybody.
Like I said
now
earlier.
Now you have wide receivers who are like looked at as like, no, these guys are the playmakers.
Yep, exactly. You got Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, who I really love. Chris Olave of Ohio State. Garrett Wilson, another Ohio State receiver, is out there. Who's the kid out of USC? Drake London?
Yeah.
Is that who? Yeah, Drake London out of USC. I think he's projected to go in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken, by the crazy draft, mock draft gods.
But see, I feel like tonight the storyline will be, I think the Niners are going to, they will be the top headline.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way.
Some way, somehow, the 49ers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for a trade, for this, I think it's going to be the Niners. Because, I mean, you talk about that, too, as well as Jimmy G and Trey Lance. What are they doing with those guys?
What are they doing with those guys going forward?
Are you going to keep both of them?
Nope. So, it's, again, to me, tonight has some interesting storylines outside of just who goes where. It's how they go where they go, I think, is a big deal. So that's at least my expectation tonight. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We got two guests coming up next hour. We got Josh Edwards, is right, from CBS?
Yes, sir.
He's going to join us to talk about the draft. Then Rex Hoggard is going to join us. We're going to talk golf. The Phil Mickelson wanting to get out of the PGA Tour so he can play in the Saudi Golf League. How big is that story? He hasn't committed to anything to the Saudi Golf League, but asking for his release from the PGA Tour. We'll get his take on that. All coming up in hour number three as we continue with Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're going back to 1988 on this Throwback Thursday as the Orioles on this date lost their 21st game to start the season, 0-21. And if you were curious, well, how in the world did that season play out? Did they bounce back? No, they lost 107 games in 1988. But 1989, they spent a good majority of the season in first place. They were actually quite good the very next year. So you never know. Team could be in the toilet one year. Team could be good. That's what the draft is about tonight. By the way, Jacksonville, number one pick. This is so old to their fan base. This must drive them crazy. How many times in the last 10, 15 years they've had a top 10, top 5 selection in the draft? It is consistent. And yet most of the players they've drafted aren't on the team anymore. Remember the year they drafted Blake Bortles third?
Yeah.
How about Dante Fowler? Remember when they drafted him?
Well, I feel like
Jalen Ramsey.
They went through a fire sale just recently. Because they actually had really good defensive players that they felt they no longer needed.
They just started dumping everybody. They just started moving people. People didn't like being in the organization. They got rid of them. They got, they just said, you know what? Start fresh. But that's the other reason. Again, there are two things about this draft. And don't get me wrong. I love the draft. I love this thing. But I do understand some of the criticism, which comes from not being the kind of exact science. But that's to me, is kind of the appeal. I mean, to me, the fact that it isn't a scientific process of grading NFL talent. And it's the same thing in the NBA. I mean, we have NBA players that have busted out when they got to the league, and some have come from nowhere to be stars. That's just the nature of the business. But if you were to sell a brand new person into the NFL, take an alien from another world and you came down and you got him into the NFL, this is a very hard thing to explain to somebody new who didn't kind of grow up with it as just part of their development as a fan. Because again, you're grading this stuff from a college level. It's exponentially better, bigger and better, faster at the pro level. But when you look at it, when you say, well, this is how teams get better, Exhibit A is Jacksonville. I'm sorry, Exhibit A is Jacksonville. They had one run to an AFC championship, but for the most part, this organization has been in the toilet. They've stunk, and they've picked in the top five, top 10 for most of the last decade and a half. So if you are telling people how important this is, because this is how bad teams get better, there better be the right people making decisions. Because Jacksonville showed you can be picking the top players consistently year in and year out and still stink to high heaven. And when your best player in the history of the league, a seven-time Super Bowl champion, the greatest of all time, was drafted late in the sixth round, it makes you go, if you can't identify him as a young player, what exactly are we doing here? Why don't we just have players go wherever they want and just hope for the best? It's a very interesting, you know, it's very interesting. We still love this event, but there are things that are kind of head-scratching.